Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Lee and Keys, Real Talk, back with another episode. I just want to recap this crazy event we just watched last night, UFC Brooklyn. That was the first ever card on ESPN. You know, UFC made the switch from Fox Network to ESPN Network, so they're aligned with all the major sports now. I'm sure that definitely reflected in the TV ratings and subscriptions, I'm sure, too, because, I mean, anyone who did watch that card, you know, for how many subscribers they probably got from it being, you know, co-signed by ESPN, definitely told their friend who told their friend who told their friend, because that card was really, really crazy. And I saw a number this morning, a statistic, and it said that I think it was out of 13 fights, there was 10 finishes. Yeah, 10 finishes out of 13 total fights of the night. So that is seriously crazy. And, you know, there's usually a good handful of finishes, but that's almost the entire card. There was a finish in every fight. And it was noticeable, too, because while I was watching it, it just seemed like the thing was moving right along. And, you know, they might as well have had a lot more of the coverage in between to try and, you know, take up a lot of the time, because fights were getting over first round, second round. It seemed like all night. I mean, the main event only lasted, I think, 32 seconds. So that one was over really quickly. You know, I'll get into that one once we get to it. But I'm going to pull up the card right now because I don't remember everything offhand. There was a couple big wins that I want to talk about, but I don't want to jump right into that. I want to just kind of scan through and talk a little bit about the ones that I did remember. You know, big win for Cowboy Cerrone. That was huge. That was probably my favorite outcome of the night. Oh, man, I was Team Cowboy for that one. I was like, man, please, Cowboy, humble this kid. Please, we need it. You know, you can never become, you know, someone who I'm a fan of when you talk to Cowboy Cerrone that way. I mean, that guy is the most winning UFC fighter ever. That guy's fought everybody who's anybody, so there's really nothing you can say to Cerrone. You can't come in here, waltz in here, and expect to beat that guy. Just because a couple guys have beaten him, he's definitely not washed up. So, I mean, you can't underestimate Cowboy at this point. And he just reminded everybody of that again last night. So, I'm very happy about that. The man won $100,000 in extra $100,000 in fight bonuses. He had I believe, a performance of the night bonus and a finish. Was it fight of the night bonus and a performance of the night bonus? You know, one for the finish, one for the fight as a whole, which is understandable. You know, you had, let me see, I'm trying to pull up the full card here. Articles just want to talk about certain fights. We're trying to look at the whole card, beloved, you know what I'm saying? Come on. I just wanted to see this. I know Paige VanZant, I missed that fight. Paige VanZant had a finish as well. And Gregor Gillespie had a finish. I believe it was a second round TKO. The thing that's crazy about Gregor Gillespie is that I'm often pretty critical of Khabib's style, you know, Khabib Nurmagomedov style, because my thing with that is, you know, Gillespie, he's a lightweight, and, you know, that fight eventually could happen. You know, Khabib and Gregor Gillespie. I feel like they fight with a quite similar approach, quite similar style. You know, Gillespie, he's a wrestler. But the thing that I just think is different about it is, I mean, if you watch his fight with Yancy Medeiros last night, I mean, a lot of people, I think the crowd was booing at one point. That doesn't mean it's not a good fight, but people weren't exactly entertained. I mean, Gillespie, you know, he's pretty much just controlling the fight, not really letting Medeiros get to, not letting Medeiros throw any shots, kind of just smothering the guy. And I'm pretty sure that the stat came out and Gillespie only absorbed one significant strike the entire fight. So that was really crazy. And, you know, it's so similar to Khabib. That's the kind of stat lines you see come out of Khabib fights. The guy does not, you know, the guy lands shots and doesn't get hit. And he comes out with a whole mess of control time, you know, 4, 5, 6 minutes control time, even more. You know, controlling entire rounds at a time. That's very similar to what Gregor Gillespie was doing in this fight. And, You know, the thing that I can just pull out and say is different between those two guys is just that, and this is the reason why I like watching Gillespie more, is that Gillespie looks for the finish, and, you know, he wants to get guys out of there, and he doesn't want to go the distance. I mean, I don't know whether Khabib doesn't try to look for the finish. I know, and of course, in the Conor fight, he was looking for the finish. You know, he won by submission in the fourth round versus Conor McGregor. You know, but they also had, like, a really heated rivalry, and I think there was Khabib fought emotional in that fight, and he just wanted to prove to everybody that he could beat McGregor. So he was looking for the finish there. But, you know, I feel like generally in his fights, I don't know if he's not looking for the finish and he wants to go to the scorecards, or he just can't finish guys. I mean, it's I guess that's left to interpretation of how, you know, you want to look at it. But, like, in the Edson Barboza fight, I feel like he definitely could have finished Edson Barboza, but he just didn't. And then, you know, grinded him out to a decision. See, I don't really like that. That way is just – it's like, man, you're just torturing guys. Like, why are you just torturing guys? Like, just finish the fight, man. The ref's just waiting. I mean, you got this guy's – you get your elbow to this guy's head, you know, just squeezed to the canvas. Why not just, you know, throw a couple shots and get the TKO finished? I don't understand what that is in Khabib Nurmagomedov's approach, where he just doesn't want to finish the fight. I feel like he's had many opportunities – you know, in recent fights, like the Edson Barboza fight, where he could have finished it and just didn't. Nothing in me tells me that he couldn't have finished Edson Barboza. He just didn't. So I have no idea what that is. But I know Gillespie looks to finish the fight. So that's a big difference. That's a big way in which that those two guys differ. So that's what that is. Gregor Gillespie was 12-0. He moved up to 13-0. He won, you know, second round TKO. I think it was actually in the last second of the second round. So he beat Yancy Medeiros. I had him in my DraftKings lineup. I totally had full faith in Gillespie to get that one done. I felt like his style would have been and was a bad matchup for, you know, a guy like Yancy Medeiros. Yancy Medeiros wants to throw hands. He wants to be able to stand and bang. And a guy like Gillespie is not going to let you do that. And he's not going to absorb many shots, as we end up seeing. So that's what that was. Greg Hardy, really disappointing. You know, I feel like they could have had, you know, any of these other fights really could have co-main evented, and you would have came out with a better product than what you got in the co-main event. I mean, Greg Hardy is just really there because, you know, he was in the NFL for a while. He played, you know, a handful of seasons in the NFL. I really don't know how many. I think I want to say it was like four seasons. I really don't follow the NFL, so I have no idea. I didn't even know who he was until I read an article. Someone said he was in the NFL. I really don't follow football at all, so maybe somebody else might know the numbers a little bit better. But, yeah, Greg Hardy, you know, he was in the co-main event just because of the name. You know, he was only 3-0, and he's never had a UFC fight yet. So this was just another one of those attempts, you know, where they put CM Punk in there just because he was in the WWE. You know, you have one of the biggest guys, biggest names in the WWE. You want to put them in the co-main event or on the main card, you know, just because, just off the strength of that, and they haven't even had a UFC fight. So that's just kind of sad. I don't know. I really didn't agree with that. I feel like it was a lackluster fight too. This other guy, Alan Crowder, that he fought, this guy was trying to wrestle him. You know, he brought Greg Hardy into the second round. Hardy's never gone to the second round of any of his whopping three total MMA fights that he's had has not made it out of the first round, because he's gotten first round finishes. And he mostly stand and bang. You know, he wants to just knock guys out. You know, you haven't really seen much tech. You haven't seen any different, you know, any diversity, any technical skills, no ground game wrestling, no submissions, anything like that. And it is what it is. That crowd, you know, that fight, the Crowder guy ended up kind of baiting Hardy into throwing an illegal knee while he was already down, and Hardy ended up getting disqualified. Crowder won the fight by DQ. That fight was just, that was stupid to me. I really don't even want to spend any more time on that. That was just whatever. You know, watching any heavyweight fight is pretty much like watching guys move in slow motion. So, That fight was really boring even before that happened. That's why I like Stipe Miocic so much, because I feel like he's such an athlete, and you know he makes guys look so bad in there, and he doesn't look like he's stuck in the mud when he's fighting. Though it's not like he's moving in slow motion. You're seeing a guy who's really, you know, he never stays in one place. Miocic he's fast and he's very athletic. He outdoes, you know, all these heavyweight guys. Miocic does, to me, you know, I'm no expert, but Miocic don't even look like a heavyweight to me. You know, I feel like he's definitely got the weight, but I feel like when you just look at his body, you know, he really doesn't look like a lot of a heavyweight. So I could picture him being like 220, 225 or something like that. I feel like I really forget what he weighed in his last fight, but I feel like he's a smaller heavyweight than most of these guys. And then Joseph Benavidez had I also picked Joseph Benavidez in my DraftKings lineup. Joseph Benavidez ended up, you know, grinding out a decision over Dustin Ortiz. I was rooting for Benavidez here, you know, the more experienced guy. You know, I'd say I'm more of a fan of Dustin Ortiz. I actually got to see him fight when I was at the Boston card. And Dustin Ortiz is, you know, he's really good. He's fast, small, but he's powerful. I think a lot of guys underestimate his power and technique. Dustin Ortiz had a big fight here. But, you know, Benavidez has been around for a long time. The guy's got 32 professional fights. And Dustin Ortiz is no slouch either. He's no rookie. I mean, he's got 27 himself. So and I feel like both these guys have been around for a long time. Benavidez is just – he's kind of on a different level. I mean, it was always Benavidez was like right there. You know, Mighty Mouse Demetrius Johnson was just like one step ahead of the guy. But Benavidez was always the number two, you know, in the flyweight division. So I feel like he's just making his way back up the ladder, back up the ranks, and getting himself back up into that number two spot. You know, he'll probably be in talks of a title shot at this point. You know, I know he has a win over Henry Cejudo in the past, so I think that the UFC really wouldn't mind, and it wouldn't hurt them to, you know, possibly think about making that rematch. You know, Cejudo Benavidez too, being that Benavidez already has a win over Cejudo, so we'll see how that pans out. And I'll get back to the main event in a minute. I just want to get through a couple more points here. You know, the Paige VanZant and Rachel Ostovich fight, I actually had to pick. I wanted to pick Paige VanZant in my DraftKings lineup, but I ended up having to pick Rachel Ostovich because I didn't have enough money in my budget. You know, DraftKings, you have to pick a six-fighter lineup for, you know, with a salary cap of $50,000. So you can only get so many favorites or so many big names. I mean, in my lineup, I already had TJ Dillashaw, Gregor Gillespie, Joseph Benavidez, right there. Them three guys, you already spent like probably like $27,000 to $30,000, and you already had to pick three more guys. So I had to go with Rachel Ostovich, even though I didn't think that she was going to win. And then she ended up, Paige VanZant ended up winning second round submission. I didn't see the fight, so I can't tell you, you know, what kind of, was it an armbar? I'm not sure what submission it was. I didn't see the fight, so I have no idea. I happened to be moving from place to place, one location to the other while that fight was on. So by the time I got to the location B, you know, that fight was finishing up. I jumped back on and was able to see, you know, the next one or two fights after that. And then you had, you know, one thing that was a trend this night is that, you know, these older guys who you would underestimate fighting these younger guys actually pulled it off. You know, Glover Teixeira, he fought Carl Robertson. Carl Robertson was like a last-minute replacement. I forget exactly who Teixeira was supposed to fight originally, but Robertson kind of stepped in on short notice. And he's only 7-2, so the guy's only had 9 fights. Glover Teixeira has had, you know, he's 28-7. He's had 35 fights. You know, and Glover Teixeira's last few, he hasn't had, you know, he hasn't looked too impressive. He's been finished, I believe, in a few of his last handful of fights. You know, I know he was knocked out by Alexander Gustafsson not too far back. I think that was probably like a year and a half ago at this point. Gustafsson knocked him out. You know, he's had a couple other tough losses recently, but, you know, I think he looked good in there. He got the job done. He finished Kyle Robinson. I think it was Oh, I almost thought it was a TKO. No, it looked like Robertson was going to finish the share at one point. He was in the top position. I thought he was just going to keep hammering away. Share wasn't going to be able to scramble out of it, but he did. He got back, and he got the first round submission. So that was good. I was glad to see that. You know, that kind of goes along with the trend that I noticed of these, some of these veteran guys, just like Cowboy Cerrone, another veteran guy who fought a newcomer, and this Alexander Hernandez guy, who I really am not liking at this point in time. I'm really not liking this guy's trash talk at the press conference. I watched him. They had the main event of the prelims, so I was just listening to this dude, and he was just talking reckless on Cowboy Cerrone and how he was just going to walk through him in the octagon and all this stuff, and it was pretty much the exact opposite. I think Cerrone walked through him, pretty much dominated the entire fight. And I think, Cerrone ended up winning. I think it was a second round TKO. So that was beautiful. That was so beautiful. I know. And that pushed Cowboy, to the highest standard in the UFC. He has now the most wins in UFC history by, I think, one or two. He has one or two wins. I think he has 22 wins total, maybe 23 wins. And he had the most finishes ever in UFC history as well. So Cerrone just elevated himself again. That was really awesome. Props to Cerrone. And then, something that I want to bring up now is the main event. The main event, you had Henry Cejudo and TJ Dillashaw, okay? And what happened was that I think a lot of people, I picked TJ Dillashaw in my DraftKings lineup, and I was hurt in the main event. Cejudo, I think, did something that a lot of people wouldn't have expected of him. They wouldn't have expected him to go in there and look for the finish early, try to stand and bang with Dillashaw. A lot of people thought, Cejudo, Olympic gold medalist wrestler, he's going to want to take Dillashaw down and get it done with his ground game. So I figured, this is another one of those wrestler versus striker matchups. But at the same time, Dillashaw's got a pretty good wrestling background. I feel like he's a, out of all the guys, you wouldn't really call Dillashaw a striker. I just feel like he's got a mix of both. He's got wrestling it. He's got the good boxing. But it's like versus Cejudo, to me, it kind of just looked more like, okay, here's the Olympic gold medalist wrestler, and here's Dillashaw with good wrestling skills, but on a lower level, because he's not Olympic gold medalist. So Cejudo, he really demonstrated a lot of his skills in the last fight versus Demetrius Johnson. I didn't see the fight, but I did watch some highlights back. I actually missed that event, but I watched some highlights back, and he's a very skilled wrestler. The thing that's crazy is that it just depends. Like, if that's the style that you like to see, if you're watching this to see great wrestling, then you'd be a big fan of Cejudo. But if that's not really your cup of tea, then you probably wouldn't be entertained by watching Cejudo's fights. This one, though, I think probably made a lot of people a fan of Cejudo. I don't know if I can really speak for myself. I can't really speak on my own behalf. It was a good, impressive win. I don't think that I'm checking for Cejudo at this point still. I'm still not really entertained. I'm not saying that it wasn't a big achievement. I just really don't care for it. I really didn't care if the flyweight division stayed or go, to be 100% honest. I never was a fan of watching flyweight fights, so this main event really didn't matter to me at all. The only reason that I was really excited for it in this event as a whole, being with this, having this headliner, was just to DraftKings, and I was just waiting to see how this whole thing panned out. I was hoping to see Dillashaw win, but Dillashaw got stopped. Cejudo went in there, stand and bang with Dillashaw. He traded. The fight only lasted 32 seconds. Cejudo ended up landing a head kick, I believe, on Dillashaw. Was it a head kick? Oh, no. That was the Cerrone fight. No, my bad. Yeah, Cejudo had one shot that dropped Dillashaw, and he just started hammering away on him. Dillashaw was getting rained on, and the referee had no choice but to jump in and stop the fight. you know, a lot of people were saying and are still saying that it was an early stoppage, you know, at the post-fight press conference. Even Dana White said that it was an early stoppage, that he didn't like the stoppage. And, you know, for a fight of that caliber, that he felt the referee should have let them fight instead of, you know, jumping in to stop the fight, you know, with less than a minute, haven't even gone a minute into the fight. So, you know, but I can understand Dana White's frustration. I mean, you're waiting for a big fight and, you know, the fight's getting stopped. I get it. I mean, you got to look at it from, you know, a business standpoint. I mean, people want to see finishes, but at the same time, people want to see wars. And, you know, there's definitely a fan base for both of those things. Some people like to see quick knockouts, and then there's a lot of people who don't. And they want to see guys stand and trade and see guys transition in advance from different positions, you know, get to see a mix of both guys' skills. You know, there's a lot of people that want to see, you know, all these diverse situations, all these different situations, you know, happening in a fight. And that one just really didn't get anywhere because it was stopped so quick. So I understand why Dana White's upset with that. I mean, the fight ended really quick. And a lot of people were saying it was a premature stoppage. A lot of people said it was a premature stoppage. I mean, honestly, I don't know if I could, you know, go with that and say it was an early stoppage because, I mean, if you were the referee, you got to see it from the referee's point of view as well, where, you know, you're seeing a guy getting rained on with punches. And, you know, he looked defenseless. I mean, maybe I need to watch the clip back. I'm going to have to queue up YouTube right after this finishes up, queue up YouTube and go see the finish again and really take a look at what Dillashaw was doing at that time, you know, at the post-fight press conference. Dillashaw, you know, I read a quote from that. Dillashaw had said, you know, and I watched a little bit of it. Dillashaw had said that he was actually going for a single leg while the quote-unquote finish happened, you know, when the fight was stopped. Dillashaw said that he was still basically on the offensive, and he was advancing from that position. So he wasn't down and out, and he didn't think that he was knocked out. I mean, I really have no idea. Like I said, I need to look back. But, I mean, it looked like, I mean, you could barely see what, it was really hard to see what he was doing. I mean, from the perspective, you know, of just watching it on my TV, you know, on the ESPN Plus app on my Xbox, you know, shout out to that, by the way. Shout out to the ESPN Plus app on Xbox because that runs beautifully. You know, on my friend's TV, it was very, very slack. But on the ESPN Plus app on Xbox, the stream was beautiful. And, you know, with that being said, just looking at the finish from that point of view and looking at the fight from that point of view, I just really couldn't tell that Dillashaw was doing anything. So, you know, maybe the referee saw it from a different perspective. Maybe he felt like Dillashaw was out right there. I don't know. I mean, you just got to think from the referee's point of view, like in the heat of the moment, if that was you right there, would you stop the fight? You know, if that was, you know, two other guys and it wasn't the main event, like not thinking about the stakes, like would you stop that fight? Seeing a guy, you know, Cejudo was kind of like circling around him, just like, you know, raining down punches on him. So would you have stopped the fight is what you got to think to yourself before you can really criticize the stoppage. I don't know because, you know, I think if I had a guess, I would think that Dana White's plan was to have TJ Dillashaw come in, you know, thinking that he'll beat Henry Cejudo so that Dana White can close the flyweight division. And now, at this point, that hasn't happened, and the tides have turned. It's going another way. And now you have Henry Cejudo just knocked out TJ Dillashaw, you know, in 32 seconds. So what do you do now with the flyweight division? You know, TJ Dillashaw is asking to have the rematch again. He wants to fight Cejudo again at 125 pounds. And, you know, Cejudo seems like he's game for that, or is also game to to fight Dillashaw for his belt at 135 pounds. And I don't know, because I'm kind of sick of all these champ versus champ fights, to be honest with you. I mean, how many of those have we seen in the past year? I mean, we saw Cormier versus Stipe Miocic. We saw Gegard Mousasi and Roy McDonald. You know, that happened in Bellator. We saw that one. We saw Amanda Nunes and Chris Cyborg. That's three. And there's a few more, too. I mean, this one. This one is four. I feel like there's one or two more that I'm missing. I think it was one more. What was the other champ versus champ fight? I really can't remember. But, no, I'm just kind of sick of the champ versus champ thing at this point. I mean, I feel like it's getting old. And, you know, one thing to note about it, it just seems like the smaller man wins in almost all of them. Because I know there was five champ versus champ fights between UFC and Bellator in the last. And Bellator had the one, and UFC has had four. And there's been five champ versus champ fights in the past year. And UFC put on four of them. I can't think of that one that I'm missing. Oh, it'll probably pop up. I'll remember it later. But it just seems like the smaller man wins almost every time, and it's by way of KO or TKO. So if you really look at it, you know, everyone except for each of the four champ versus champ fights, that four out of four of the ones that have happened in the past year in the UFC, the smaller man has won every one of them, every time. And it just seems like that's a reoccurring theme at this point. And it's getting old. I know I really want to get back to a time where we didn't have to watch a super fight every event, and it doesn't have to be about a super fight. Like, every time a guy wins a belt now, it's like, oh, he's got to move up in weight, and he's got to fight, you know, the champ above him or the champ below him. Like, why can't a guy just go in there, win a belt, and then fight the number one contender? Like, what happened to that? Like, at this point, the rankings are just pointless when you're just, every time a guy wins a belt, you're having him go to the other division to fight that champion. And I just like to see, you know, the era of champ versus number one contender, bring that back. I'd really like to see them bring that back in 2019, you know, champ versus number one contender, number two contender. You know, sometimes the number one contender is not always available, so you have him fight the number two contender. Let's just start getting back to the champion versus the top five guys. That's what I want to see going forward in 2019. You know, it's still January, but January is going to be out the window, you know, in 2 weeks. So the year's moving right along, and I just want to see the UFC get back to the old ways when they actually match up the champ with the number one contender. You know, at this point, I don't want to see Cejudo versus Dillashaw too. You know, I know there's a lot of talk about that, but I don't want to see that. I want to see Cejudo and Benavidez. I'd rather see Cejudo rematch Benavidez at this point, you know, give him the shot. He's like the number two guy, so give him the shot. And then, you know, let's see Dillashaw fight like Marlon Moraes, or, you know, maybe have him fight the winner of Marlon Moraes and Rafael Sanzao. You know, they're fighting, I believe, in March. So maybe bring TJ back, have him take a couple months off, have him run it back, you know, fight the winner of that. I feel like that would be whichever one of them guys wins that, I feel like is definitely warranted for a title shot at that point. And, have them run those two fights back. And let's just get back to the natural ways, you know, champ versus contenders, not champ versus champ every time there's an event. So that's pretty much all I got. You know, UFC Brooklyn was a pretty amazing event. You know, 10 finishes out of 13 fights. It was really crazy. So, everybody go check that back and subscribe to ESPN Plus. And don't try to watch it on your TV. Watch it if you have an Xbox One. Watch it on the Xbox One ESPN Plus app. You know, that's where it's at. And, thank you for everybody. Thank you, everybody, for supporting you know, our show, Lean Keys Real Talk, supporting Lean Keys Real Talk all the time, you know, to all the listeners, everybody, we appreciate it. Thank you. And everybody stay positive. You know, my man Lee has a quote. You know, I can't think of a word for it off the top. You know, that's his quote to say about, you know, positive people coming out with positive results. So when he's back the next time, he'll have to lay that quote down for everybody one more time. You know, that's his line, so I'm not going to copy it. But, you know, we got to wait for him to come back and lay that gold down with that quote. So anyways, yeah, everybody stay positive and enjoy life. And, you know, and support, go get ESPN Plus, because I know a lot of the events are going to be streamed on there now. So everybody go do that and have a great rest of your day. Over and out, Lean Keys Real Talk. Till next time.